No Place to Hide, featuring Mark Saxon and Sergei in Operation Oblivion.
A ragged cheer went up from the workmen crowding the edge of the crater. There was good cause. 20 feet below, Mark and Sergei had succeeded in opening the hatch in the top of the mysterious space capsule which had crashed into the earth just near a quarry on Dartmoor. The prison authorities had notified space security of its presence on the moor, saying that it must have arrived sometime within the last 6 weeks, the date of their last visit to the quarry. Initially, it had been thought that the crater, some 15 feet across and 20 feet deep, was empty. Loose soil covered the floor of it. However, Sergei had climbed down to investigate, and after burrowing in the loose soil for a further depth of more than 2 feet, he had discovered the alien presence. Now, some 20 hours later, the capsule was revealed for what it was. It was approximately 15 feet long and 9 feet in diameter. It gleamed silver in the noonday sun. The only seam in the unidentifiable metal skin of the casing was at the originally unearthed top end. Mark and Sergei had tried everything they knew to open it, only succeeding finally by applying their concerted weight to both sides of the scored section and exerting pressure simultaneously.
Well done, Sergei.
The people or creatures who occupy this thing must be very strong if they have to exert this much strength every time they want to open the door.
Amber Gold is here. Another exciting new addition to Harmony Color Shampoo's choice of shades. And it's for you if your hair's in the dark blonde to light brown range.
Let Harmony Amber Gold go to your head. Put a soft red golden glow on dark blonde hair, a delicate muted amber sheen on light brown and in between shades.
Try it. Harmony Amber Gold. Welcome your family home with a warm, hearty flavor of good, rich Royco soups. Royco soups, made with the good things you would choose, come in so many delicious, easy-to-serve varieties. Royco Soups.
What Sergei said was, of course, true. It had taken Mark's and his combined efforts to open the door in the way it was designed to be opened. It wasn't just a case of something sticking. The door had been designed for a being possessing superhuman strength. It was a sobering realization.
It's pretty dark inside.
Yes, it is. Drop us down a torch, someone.
Here you are, Mike.
Thanks. All right, Sergei. Do you want to go first?
I wouldn't dream of it. Besides, by the look of things, there might not be room for us both.
Oh, I think so. Anyway, here goes. There is room, Sergei. Just.
Right. Then here I come. It's not very big, is it?
It's big enough.
How do you mean, Mark?
Well, by the seating arrangements, it's designed for only one passenger.
The layout of the space capsule was as different from anything Mark had ever seen as it possibly could be. The whole instrumentation plan had grown from an entirely different root source from Earth space vehicles. The panels were, to Mark's eye, completely unreadable. The seat which confronted the controls was almost the only recognizable piece of apparatus. By its positioning, angle, and size, it was possible to deduce that the person who had occupied the capsule was not different in shape and size from an ordinary human being.
Well, Sergei, what do you think?
It's fantastic. These dials, if they can be called dials.
I agree. Unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Has it anything to do with the present case, do you think?
I don't think so. Unless it can have. The Unicells couldn't fly a thing like this. That's if it wasn't fired like a rocket.
Do you think that it could have been?
I don't know. Normally, a construction such as this would collapse if fired. Yes, but we don't know the strength of this strange metal. It might quite easily stand up to it for all we know.
It's true. You know, it seems a coincidence, this ship arriving at more or less the same time as the Unicells, if it hasn't anything to do with them.
Yes, it does, but work it out for yourself. The Unicells take over human beings as carriers. They need bodies to function for them. Well, this ship was flown by a body. A body not actually human, at least with approximately the same dimensions.
Yes, I suppose so. What's this?
What?
This sort of oblong box here.
Goodness knows. Probably one of the controls.
I don't think so. Listen. It's like a box, but an empty one.
Well, open it and see.
I tried, but I can't.
I don't forget that the person who piloted this thing had a lot of strength. Try again, and this time use more force.
All right. Here goes. Look.
What is it, Sergei?
Come and look for yourself. And see just what a lucky escape we've had.
Something in Sergei's tone made Mark stop his checking of the controls and move across the tiny cabin to his side. Sergei was peering into the container, for such it was. And then Mark, too, saw the reason for the Russian's remark.
You see what they are?
I do indeed. Thousands of Unicells.
Thousands of dead Unicells.
We really have been spared, haven't we?
I wonder how they died.
I'd be prepared to hazard a guess.
How?
Lack of moisture.
You could be right.
The water, or whatever liquid they existed on, ran out during their long flight through space.
It was ironical to think that once we had wanted a specimen of a Unicell, and that now we had thousands. I wonder just how many had survived the flight through space. The flight which had gone on so long, the spacecraft had virtually dried out. But this new discovery opened up so many new possibilities. So many new possibilities of potential danger. Well, that night, Mark and Sergei were once more back at Harwell.
So, Dr. Constance, just when we thought we were beginning to know something about the enemy, we have to scrap our ideas.
Well, not all of them.
A good many. The whole structure of the force ranged against us is quite different from what our deduction so far led us to believe.
It's so different that I feel we're about to start on another case.
No, it's not so bad as that, Sergei.
I don't know so much.
I think I prefer it this way. The business of getting to grips with the Unicells was one which never appealed to me. Not that I had any mistaken ideas about chivalry because they were smaller than we were.
You talk about them in the past tense, Mark. They're not in the past tense yet. Some of them, an unspecified number, are still very much alive. They may be even more alive than the thousands of dead ones that you've discovered in the space capsule.
If only we could fathom their exact relationship to the scheme of things.
How do you mean, Mark?
Well, so far we've regarded them as super intelligent beings, haven't we?
Yes. Hasn't been proved, though, has it?
I'm not sure.
Well, you can't leave us there, Mark. Explain.
Well, supposing they're not the intelligent organisms we thought them.
What?
Supposing they're no more than pieces of living machinery.
Mark's ability to grasp quickly at new ideas and give them meaning never ceased to astonish me. I think that had I myself thought of the idea of living machinery, I would have dismissed it without a second thought. Now, because of Mark's almost unerring instinct concerning such things, I found myself seriously entertaining the idea. It was an idea that was very hard to get to grips with. What you're really suggesting, Mark, is something based on an antique.
Oh, please, Dr. Constance, I'm getting lost.
Well, actually, I don't think that that's so far from the truth. The idea of a central figure surrounded by thousands of workers, controlled possibly by impulses.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we still don't know quite how ants work, but we do know that they're not intelligent organisms. Yet, en masse, they achieve marvels in their endeavors. Disturb them, they become aimless. Once remove the queen from the scheme of things, and the home itself is destroyed, it ceases to exist, and so do a great number of the worker ants. I think there is a parallel here, especially when you consider how big the queen can become.
Well, I don't know very much about ants, but what you're saying is, in fact, that the unicells, whether in host bodies or not, are controlled by a central brain.
That's about the size of it, yes.
How?
Well, that we have to find out. By electrical waves, maybe, by telepathy. Wait a minute.
What is it, Mark?
You know, quite suddenly, a lot of things are starting into place. Quite suddenly, I'm beginning to see the reason for things which, up to now, have baffled me.
I'll do more than baffle you if you don't explain to me. I'm getting more and more confused.
Wait a minute, let me think. Yes. Yes, that could be it.
Yes, I think I know, Mark.
That headache, or whatever it was that I had the other day, I couldn't understand it. I said it was like an accidental meeting. I think that's exactly what it was. I met the force controlling the unicell.
In the hottest room, the busiest rush, I stay fresh as a daisy because I bath with new Rexona, the soap that's completely different. Only Rexona has triodin to keep you sure of all-over personal freshness long after your bath.
Freshness is a girl's best friend, and it's yours with Rexona, the soap that keeps you nice to know.
Sergei just stared at Mark. I didn't. Oddly enough, his suggestion didn't surprise me. It was at this point that I knew with certainty that we had made a genuine start in getting to grips with the real problems of Operation Oblivion. The problems, yes, but we still had to find the motives.
And how are we going to locate this central figure?
Well, I don't know, except that as you yourself, Sergei, have called him central, he probably is just that.
The triangle.
What?
The triangle which links up the points of attack so far.
No, I think it's too much to hope for, Dr. Constance.
It wouldn't be easy, but I suppose it would be a good deal easier than we dare expect.
One thing, we know that he was in the vicinity of the first attack.
Well, of course, the rocket was no more than a few miles from the Seagraves' cottage.
Yes. The capsule lands, the central body gets out, taking with him the still-living unicells.
But why travel all those miles to attack? Why not attack there and then?
But that's the whole point. Their first objective was not attack, but moisture, water in quantity. They headed for the sea. Once satisfied, they then set about their business. And unluckily for Linton Seagrave, he was all too handy.
Welcome your family home with a warm, hearty flavor of good, rich Royco soups. Royco soups, made with the good things you would choose, come in so many delicious, easy-to-serve varieties. Royco soups.
I knew Mark was right. At that moment, I would have staked my life on the accuracy of his deductions. Pieces of the jigsaw were falling into place. A pattern was beginning to emerge. But even at that stage, I could see that it was not a complete pattern.
Listen again tomorrow night at 7:15 to No Place to Hide.